The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourselves and know that summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, nearly experienced my own end of the world moment there. You know, choking on a little piece of granola bar, I guess, from a, you know, however that works. I shouldn't go down that road. And I've always thought of myself, like, as I'm taking medicine, I'm like, this is like a slug taking medicine. Like, what? I don't know. It's a weird thing. Anyway, you guys don't need my strange rambling thoughts in the morning. I'll give you some pointed ones. We're firmly in the the apocalyptic prophecy of Jesus here, right? We're living between the time of, at least he's giving us some sense of what the time between his resurrection and the falling of the temple in Jerusalem will be, and what is to happen when that happens. Yesterday there was one point perhaps that I would have also brought out that I did not, and this was Jesus' encouragement to flee the city when they see that this is happening, when they see that the destruction of the temple is at hand. They're to flee the city. In this sense, he's giving them some sense of don't go down with the ship, right? But what is the ship? The ship is a kingdom that is opposed to the coming kingdom of God. So saying, don't have some kind of false allegiance to a kingdom that is passing away. Join on, get out of there, but join on to the kingdom of God. Right? Don't feel like your allegiance, secondary as it is, and of course they should have some allegiance to their city and the nation state, but their allegiance, secondary as it is, needs to come after their primary allegiance, which is to the kingdom of God. And this is the same for us, right? We can have secondary and tertiary allegiances, right? We can be convicted that we're supposed to be part of this movement or this party or this nation or whatever it may be, this cause, this one. But the kingdom of God is primary. It's absolutely primary. It's also, right, in the end, it's the only thing that endures. The kingdom of God is all that endures. And more than that, right, we know that, we could say from the writings of St. Paul, what is it that endures is love. It's the only thing that endures. In the end, it will be the only thing there is. So are we participating in that? Now we could look at my secondary and tertiary commitments and say, do they stir up in me love? Do they allow me to participate more fully in the creative work of God, which is animated and powered by self-giving love? Or do they not? And my allegiance to those things really is in the measure that they participate in the building of God's kingdom and bringing to life his own life of love in the world. And if they don't at all, then what kind of commitment ought we have to them? So this is, again, part of what's going on. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. What are we investing in? What are we living for? What are our hopes and dreams about? What are the goals that we're living to and trying to work for today, trying to accomplish today? If it's anything other than love, then we're missing the mark. And that's the challenge that I think confronts us day in, day out. Yeah, so Jesus is giving them some sense. Now this is it. I think there's something remarkable here, and we hear echoes of this in the letters of St. Paul as well. You see for yourselves and know that the summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. There's some sense of preparation on the, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the time of tribulation, where what they know will come to an end, but they will live into, in whatever form it takes, they will live into the new world that has to be powered by self-giving love. Well, so to us. In a sense that we can look around us and we don't know actually what's going to last and what's not going to last. Even if we say, relatively speaking, in our lifetime, we don't know what's going to be around by the end of my life. But we don't know what changes will have happened in the world, what seemingly permanent establishments will no longer exist, or what new ones will come into being. We don't know that stuff. But we know what it's all about in the end. It's all about God's kingdom. And it's all about God transforming us to be a more authentic embodiment of his own self-giving love. And then our transforming his world by those same means, and in this same mold, so that we then are building a civilization of love. The rest of it we don't know. And then we see in times of turmoil, because we see it, we hear echoes of it here in the scriptures. We see it dealt with more directly in the letters of Saint Paul. Jesus and Saint Paul will talk about how other people are left without an orientation at this time. There's great turmoil. I mean, we get some sense of this also in the book of Revelation, right? This time of turmoil, the feeling of chaos, things are out of control and the rest. But you, Christians, you know what you're supposed to do. And you keep doing it. One, because in the time of preparation, without having, say, direct confrontation, conflict, and chaos and the like, you were giving yourself over to the rule of God. You were struggling and striving in the time that lacked that, you know, head-on collision. You were struggling and striving to bring about the rule of God, to both receive God's mercy and to live it out in the world, to be great participants in God's triumph, God's victory of self-giving love. You were already doing it. And if you're already doing it in times of relative peace, then you can do it in times of relative conflict. And it may be harder to do it in conflict, but it also may be easier to do it in conflict. It doesn't matter. Your point of focus is the kingdom of God. Your point of focus is the love of God made flesh for you in Christ Jesus, that now you are called to make flesh in the world. That's what matters. And everything else can shift around it. And we might feel better about it or worse about it, but our eyes are fixed on Jesus. And that's what matters. That's our point of orientation. And this is, we close out the liturgical year this way, but it also gives us some, you know, push into Advent and Christmas and the rest, is that we are to live under the rule of Christ Jesus, of King Jesus. It's all that matters. And he's in control. He's in control. And he will achieve his ends in us and through us if we but sign ourselves over to him. If we but make the offering of our heart and our lives to him, and we live every moment in his service, all things for Christ the King, all things for you, Jesus, right? The emboldening of my heart, the expanding of my heart in service of King Jesus, who not only wants us to become again a more authentic or sincere expression of God's love for the world, but also will achieve it in us by his Spirit at work in us and through us.